Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Art of Seduction, warm, wonderful poetry compelling you to the edge of your seat, sultry, seductive, and scintillating, ink to make you shiver, to make you sigh. I am Pam Ray, and co-hosting with me tonight is Mr. M. Mr. M and I are poets on a website called All Poetry with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. You don't have to belong it to the group or the website to call in, to share, to listen, and enjoy, but it is highly recommended. Now, tonight is our sensual poetry night. And if you find that is not your cup of tea, please check out our other shows. We have 1 to 2 shows per night on a variety of styles of topics and poetry, something to suit everybody's taste. And hello, Mr. M.
Hello, Miss Penn.
How's it going?
Oh, it's a little melty over here, so you may get a little background noise from my fan. A little too melty, I think. But other than that, I guess it's all right.
Yeah, well, nothing wrong with a little melting unless it means that you've got close to 100 degree temperatures. And,
well, yeah, it's over that.
Oh, Jesus. Man. Yeah.
But
I tell you, if I had to deal with... Yeah, that's if I had to deal with those kind of temperatures, I would just crawl under a rock. I would be like one of those toads that flatten themselves and crawl under a rock.
I don't blame you for that.
Yeah. But I know that wasn't a particularly sensual song. And I'm sure there are people that listening going and thinking, does she know that that's about a couple making love during a nuclear explosion? And yes, the answer is I do. But you know what?
Well,
I don't know. I just couldn't find a song that appealed to me. So, and I thought it was a fun one. I liked it.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Yeah, you know, bring back some of those 1980s vibes. So we have a great lineup of poetry tonight. I'm going to tell people about the topic, and then we'll go ahead and I'll bring on a guest and we'll get started. And so tonight's topic is Mr. M and I ran a contest with quotes and pictures that had to do with the theme of melting. And we got some great responses, and I'm definitely looking forward to delving into tonight's sensual poetry. And with that being said, I'd like to welcome Lawrence to the show. Welcome, Lawrence. Glad you could join us.
Thank you, dear. Good to be here. Hey, Mr. M.
Sorry, I was a little distracted. It's good to hear you, Laurent. I always enjoy hearing you around.
Thank you. Me too. Or me, you.
And what a wonderful lineup of poets we have on the board in Late Night Poets. It's good to see everyone. It's good to see Louie Wildove, Selena, Fill My Eyes, Always good. And great to have you here, Lawrence. All right. So let's go ahead and get this melting ball rolling. So with that being said, all right. I've put up Melt Into My Arms by Quiet Wolf. And Mr. M, will you give that a read for us, please?
I will try. Let's see. Melt Into My Arms by Quiet Wolf. Chocolate is my favorite candy. It's sweet and curvy sometimes. It will harden and the tension builds. I would eat it all day if I could. Slow, tantalizing licks followed by soft nibbles. Oh, sweet candy. Once complete and all consumed, I'd rest, get up, pour out some more, and enjoy it all over again, over and over again. Yes, chocolate is my favorite candy. End poem.
Wonderful read there. And a beautiful central write. Perfect one, in my opinion, for starting the show. And, Laurent, your thoughts?
I like this piece. Quiet Wolf knows that chocolate has a storied history in terms of romance. I can't remember all the particulars, but chocolate, as one reviewer said below, can make everything better. Not that it made the poem better, but the poem, with its slow, tantalizing licks followed by soft nibbles, oh, sweet candy, does a good job recognizing chocolate for what it is.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And Mr. M, you read that nicely. Your thoughts?
Well, I was of the opinion that she kind of nailed all the aspects of chocolate, in that it being, you know, it can be slow, tantalizing, and it could be, it has, you know, all shapes as well as forms. Like, you know, it could be hard or soft, and then the, you know, it could be curvy, it could be straight, it could be all these things. And there's so much that it's variable, malleable, and just as, you know, certain situations and people can be. So, yeah, I thought it was very well, like, on prompt and very well done.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you're right. Is Brian Wolf, I always thought he was a he. But, or maybe, you know what, I have no clue. Okay, that's okay. Either way, it is a beautiful poem, and you're right, they do definitely, all the different ways that chocolate can be, they capture that in a brevity. And I like how they describe the sensuality of eating chocolate. And especially in that last stanza, once complete and all consumed, I dress, get up, pour out some more, and enjoy it over and over again. That's exactly how I feel about chocolate. So just absolutely a beautiful sensual rite and very well done. And before we continue on, I'd like to welcome Louie Wildove to the show. Welcome, Lou. Glad you could join us.
Hi, Pam. Oh, my goodness, those are such tantalizing pictures and quotes. And hey, Robert. Hey, Laurent.
Hola.
Hey, Lou, you.
Hi, guys. Besotes a todos. Big kisses for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Good to hear
you, Lou. It's good to have you.
I'm happy to be here. Hang out with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, did you get a chance to read or to hear Quiet Wolf's poem?
Yeah, you know, there's just something about chocolate. It's malleable. It can be shaped, and you can drink it, and you can let it melt. You can eat it crunchy. You can add so many things to it. But there's something, I love that second stanza, the one that Lauren read, the tantalizing licks followed by soft nibbles. There's just something about melted candy and licking it off your fingers or your flesh of somebody or their lips. It's just delicious.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. So wonderful comment there. And let's see what we've got next. I think we will go with this one. All right. Up next, we have The Glamorous Chick by Lyric Is Speaking. And Laurent, will you give that a read for us, please?
Certainly. The Glamorous Chick. She only likes that of the strong, not the weak, causing you to lose your mind intensely. When we speak, never taking a break, causing the mind to pace with deep, steep thoughts and real, intense feelings. She will never stray away. The challenge of a hunt becomes play. Killing and stealing hearts of her mates in every way, the thrill is revealing, often blunt, how she slays. She's dangerous with every punch, knowing how to play the part. It doesn't take much. Shooting her darts and eating you for lunch. You're left for dead, ending your life when she strikes at the depths of night. She, that queen, standing on her heights. End thought.
Great read, Lauren. And it's really great to see Lyrica speaking. I'm glad she was inspired. And Lou, let's start with your thoughts.
You know, I love hearing people read and be inspired by the pictures they see and the poetry of these sensual poems because, you know, not only I love this part right here where I smiled where he said that shooting her darts and eating you for lunch, you're left for dead, ending your dead. And, you know, that you're living for dead. And, you know, and that is the whole intense feeling of a sensual relationship. You know, right here she says, when we speak, never taking a break, causing the mind to pace with deep, steep thoughts and real intense feelings. You know, when you have those tense feelings, they just overpower everything. And you're just electrified and you electrify the person that you're sensually attracted to. This was a fantastic poem. Powerful.
Absolutely.
Seductive.
It is. It is powerful, seductive. I have to agree. That's a perfect phrase to describe it. So, great comment. And Mr. M, your thoughts?
Well, I particularly like the perspective it took of like a powerful huntress of sorts. I thought of things more like Cupid's arrow, but, you know, the arrows hit different areas. so, you know, like the feeling where it says, the part where it says, hold on, I got to find it. Oh, she knows she's dangerous with every punch, knowing how to play the part, that it doesn't take much, shooting her darts and eating you for lunch. You know, so basically going in for the kill, taking what she wants and what she needs, and basically just, you know, you can look at it as either discarding the rest or saving it for later, whichever you prefer. So, yeah, I thought it was a very, very strong and empowering piece as well as with the seductive aspect to it. So, and I really appreciate those rights. Very well done, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Lauren, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
I like the way it starts with she only likes that of the strong, not the weak. When you have the equivalent of a leopardess, or as she's described, that queen of night. She doesn't want any weakling to test her mettle. She wants someone strong. And she's very cat-like when we realize that she will never stray away. The challenge of a hunt becomes play in the same way that a cat might play with a mouse before she kills it. The queen is standing on her height. Mm-hmm. Can't touch. You know, she might enjoy you, but you will never touch any part of her because she is that powerful. Great piece.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I, too, really liked that beginning with the idea that she wasn't going to settle for somebody who was weak. She wanted somebody who was equally as strong. And I have to agree with Mr. M that it's a very empowering poem. I do like poems about strong women who are warriors. And, you know, this is a delightful, I don't know if delightful is the right word, but it's an enjoyable strength of right all the way through. And especially she's dangerous with every punch, knowing how to play the part. It doesn't take much doing her life, eating meat for lunch. Yeah, it's going right all the way through and very well done. And all right. All right. And just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you have to do something that's going to make noise, make sure to mute yourself if it's not your turn to read and comment. Thank you. And all right, let's see what we have next. Oh, and just to let you all know, and I'm sorry, I hope you don't mind, but I'll probably have you each reading a couple times before I read. Like, I'm not going to make it exactly fair because something, I got new glasses on Tuesday and they're just, I have to take them back in and get them fixed or something because my vision is just completely off. Like, it is really difficult for me to read. So
is that going to be a new prompt of double vision for your next contest or what?
Yeah, probably. Yep. And I'll have that song, and the theme will be "Sexy Twins." Actually, "Sexy Twins." All right. And up next, we have "Melting Away Frosted Layers" by Forgotten Dream. And Lou, would you give that a read for us, please?
Yes. "Melting Away Frosted Layers" by Forgotten Dream. Once a chiseled ice sculpture, sharp corners and biting tongue. Steely stare with rigid arctic stance, a fortress of snow surrounding. But his laugh is the August sun, radiating amber heat, molecules scurrying and frosty mask liquefying. Fingers flicker like a candle flame, dancing across my alabaster skin, shoulders softening like pale yellow butter on toasted bread. Winter flowers stem spine to frost, curving closer to his bonfire chest, nestling damp cheek against his pulsing sternum. Condensation sighs mingle as his woodsy warm breath washes over my evaporating verglas lips, swallowing crackling embers. Sparks glow in the dark corner and glow in the once dark caverns. Sleeping gardens awaken in bloom. Face shines with beating sweat as bodies melt and twist together like molten glass, fusing in poem.
Wonderful read there, Lou, and such a beautiful sensual write by Forgotten Dreams. That she really has a talent for imagery and metaphors. And Mr. M, your thoughts?
Well, I have to agree. I thought the metaphor play was on point here, especially the ending. I really liked it. It says, face shines with beating sweat as bodies melt and twist together like molten glass fusing. I mean, it doesn't get no tighter than that, you know, combined in unison as one, you know, like you're just stuck together like that. And the heat that it takes to get to that point, and then the beauty that it creates the product of it that it manifests is just gorgeous and beautiful. But getting to that point is a rigorous and, you know, heat-filled process. And I really, really like the way that she did this poem, if it is she. But yes, that was a great read as well. And I really like when Laurent and Lou, you read. So, yeah, that was awesome. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, I have to say, I actually consider myself very fortunate tonight to not only have you co-hosting with me, but, you know, the fact that all three of you are such wonderful readers. So thank you. And that was an excellent challenge. Thank you. And Laurent, your thoughts?
I like what Mr. M said about the rigor, the energy that it takes, the heat that builds in order to penetrate those layers, those frosted layers. I like that second stanza quite a bit, but his laugh is the August sun, radiating amber heat, molecules scurrying, and frosty mask liquefying. And the evaporating Verglas lips is well phrased, and she certainly, I don't know if Forgotten Dream is a man or a woman, but the poet definitely hit the mark with the last few lines. Face shines with beating sweat as bodies melt and twist together like molten glass fusing. She really did well on point with the prompt.
Absolutely. Yes, you're right. Very on point with the prompt. So wonderful observations there. And Lou, you did a beautiful read of that. Your thoughts?
Thank you. You know, of course, like everybody else, that ending is just fabulous. But what I also loved was where she says, fingers flicker like candle flame when you lightly touch somebody, and it just electrifies your body, and you get those, you know, skin bumps, he says, and then he uses it, his flame, to dance across your skin, and then I love this image, and she melts like butter on toasted bread. That's good too.
Mm-hmm. Yummy. And yeah, you know, I have to agree with you that fingers flicker like a candle flame. I mean, it has wonderful use of alliteration. Plus, it really does come across as you said, that kind of gentle touch that causes the goosebumps. Mm-hmm. So wonderful comment. Yeah, I really liked this. I thought it had beautiful imagery and metaphors. It definitely was seductive. And I did like that it went in the whole thought, as Mr. M was saying, that, you know, there's the heat that comes before, and then there's the molten glass. And that's a great mm-hmm. representation of two people who are not only physically bonded, but emotionally bonded as well. So just absolutely a wonderful write and very well done. And let's see what we got next. And, all right. And I see Poetic Picasso, a.k.a. Frank, in the room. And hello, Frank. It's good to see ya. And up next, we have Irresistible Illusion by Stelina. And she was nice enough to supply us with a SoundCloud. So I will go ahead and push play.
Time stilled when first your smile graced my eyes. As burning lava seeps from a volcano, the heat of pure desire coursed my veins. Your first glance revealed everything I wanted to see, touch, feel, everything I had yearned for before I was even aware. Caught in your web of enchantment, amid mysteries of love that only you could teach me, in a maelstrom of melting magnetism, you massaged my senses. Then you opened your mouth to speak. speak. Closed lips I long to devour with my own. Your voice, with that hint of husky burned forest wood, its rich resonance, your sultry, seductive sonata, played every nerve in my spine like a Stradivarius. 'Twas pure ambrosia dripping from your tantalizing tongue. I long to sip its exquisite, exhilarating elixir. Your words caressed my body like warm, welling waves of a tropical ocean in twilight's kiss.
Wonderful read and write there, Selena. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. Just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. You know, I thought this was a stunning write all the way through. I loved her choice in background music. That jazzy, bluesy, you know, feel, like saxophone sound, you know, one of my all-time favorite instruments. You know, it's such a beautiful, seductive write. I have to say it's wonderful all the way through, but I'm particularly fond of, well, the alliteration is great all the way through, but I really like Amid Mysteries of Love That Only You Could Teach Me, in a maelstrom of melting magnetism, and then where she brings in played every nerve in my spine like a Stradivarius. I like that instead of just saying violin, she goes with the Stradivarius, showing that she knows she's a woman of good quality, or that her lover treats her like a woman of good quality. And so beautifully written and very well done. And Mr. M, your thoughts?
Yeah, you hit on the point with the Stradivarius as well. She knows her class and her culture, and knows where she stands as far as amongst other women and or other people. And she basically knows she's quite the catch. And I really like that. But your first glance revealed everything I wanted to see, touch, feel, everything I had yearned for before I was even aware. So, you know, he basically hit every note, you know, like before the song was even written, type of thing. And or the notes were even played upon the Stradivarius. So, yeah, I really like the word choice here, like the way that she phrased these things, and her read was phenomenal as well. I thought this was great. Thanks for sharing it, Stelina.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Lauren, your thoughts?
Then you opened your mouth to speak. Those lips I long to devour with my own. Your voice, with that hint of husky burnt forest wood, its rich resonance, your sultry seductive sonata, played every nerve in my spine like a Stradivarius. Seductive, rich phrasing sets the tone for this piece. Its imagery and metaphors, accompanied by the strains of a saxophone, do indeed create the perfect illusion, the great poem in SoundCloud.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Lou, your thoughts?
Yeah. Can you hear me again?
Yep.
You know, I agree with you. I love hearing poets read their own poetry. And Stelina has a beautiful voice for reading poetry. I really love the sensual play here, as it, you know, it just reminded me of the Humphrey Bogart MGM pictures. You know, I could just hear the music and him, you know, her just just looking at this delicious man. And I love the same lines that Lauren just read, but also what I loved was you could just feel the heat building. 'Twas pure ambrosia dripping from your tantalizing tongue. I longed to sip his exquisite elixir. I wanted to kiss this man too.
Right?
Beautiful, tempting, sensual, and gentle. And it worked up to the fire that's building. Beautiful.
Absolutely. And you're right, it did have that kind of noir feel to it that worked really well. So wonderful comment. And let's see here. What do we have next? And up next we have Gore by EJ Cool. And Mr. M, will you give that a read for us, please?
I will try. So this is Gore by EJ Cool. Luscious red rivulets sob from cardinal florets. Strands of sanguine pearls shatter against sadistic stone. Fulminating, phlogisting, bleeds, binding candium brilliance. Vibrating vermilion pith hisses above pacified alluvium. Flesh buds erupt, drenched in gore. End poem.
Wonderful read there, and what a beautiful, dark, sensual brevity, you know, that EJ has written for us. And she was inspired by "His lips are so close to my ear, I'm water and nothing and everything and melting into a wanting. So desperate it burns as I swallow it down." So, and Lou, your thoughts?
You know, what I loved about this was her imagery is just so powerful. I loved her couplet, vibrating vermilion pith hisses above pacified vermilion, you know, just to have that person just leave their essence on you and smell and taste it. And, you know, and it does. You feel, you know, they say it's for the best fertilized soil. But we ourselves are also made from the earth, and we need this nourishment. And I thought that she beautifully brought that out.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. And she really did. So wonderful comment. And Lauren, your thoughts?
Very clever use of alliteration throughout this. Strands of sanguine pearls shatter against sadistic stone. You know, she titles this Gore, which is very, very vivid as a substance, certainly. So when she writes, vibrating vermilion pith hisses above pacified alluvium, flesh buds erupt drenched in gore, she definitely delivers on the vividness and the power of her subject matter. Very worthy piece.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Mr. M, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Well, there was a word or two in here that I never heard before. So for me, that's pretty impressive. You got a heck of a vocabulary. And this is one of those that's like short, sweet, very punchy as far as the imagery goes. Because you just can't help but see what she's trying to portray. So to me, it seems as though it's a first-time type of thing with all this, unless there is a, you know, blade play or whatever you want to call it. But to me, I love the way that she did the couplets, as has been mentioned, but also like the colors, like all the colors that she uses and the flesh buds and you know, the strands of sanguine pearls against sadistic stone, you know, alluding to the flesh against the stone, the hardness and things like that. I thought it was very, very well done, and how she could fit so much imagery and so much like thought into this poem with so little words, so few. I thought it was great, and I'm very impressed.
Absolutely, and you're right. EJ does have a wonderful use of vocabulary, very intelligent. There are definitely words in here that I am going to have to, after the show, look up the meaning to before I comment on the poem. But yeah, beautiful, powerful couplets. You know, I like how, Mr. M, you mentioned the idea of the stone against flesh, and it does work really well as a metaphor. I really like vibrating vermilion hisses above pacified alluvium. Just a wonderful line there, and beautifully written, very well done. And before we move on, I'd like to welcome Frank to the show. Welcome, Frank. Glad you could join us.
Hello there. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
In my voice?
Yes.
I'll try to stay on for a little bit. Unfortunately, I'm not able to stay on too long, but I thought I'd try to call in and see if I'm able to call. I've been having these issues with the phone, so hopefully that I'm able to stay on for a bit. And if I do, by mere circumstance, and if I do disconnect, it's the same issue as always. But I'll be on the board, if not.
All right, yeah. No problem. Well, glad you can call in for a bit. Good to have you join us. Did you get a chance to read or to listen to EJ's poem?
Fortunately, I did not, but I did read the poem. I thought the poem, I have actually read some of her poetry, so I'm familiar with some of, you know, of what she writes, you know, what inspires her. This is a very powerful poem, you know. It doesn't have that many words, you know. It's not lengthy. The alliteration is brilliant. The metaphors are striking. It's just one of these types of poems where you have to read it over and over, you know, to really grasp the gist of the poem. But I thought the poem really ended in those two lines, which what I thought really epitomized to some extent the poem there and the message of the poem. I just thought it was a fantastic write, and I really am an admirer of her writing. She's proven, you know, time after time, in the time that I've known her and read her poetry, that she has really enhanced her way of thought throughout her poetry, and I found that refreshing.
Absolutely. Absolutely well said there. And, all right, let's see what we got next. All right. And up next we have, I Wish My Night Eyes Would Be Your Favorite Haunt by Sinharoi Bizwar. And Lawrence, would you give that a read for us, please?
Certainly. That's a complex name. Sinharoi Bizwara, I think. I wish my night eyes would be your favorite haunt. I wish my night eyes would be your favorite haunt. The caramelled dew with a strawberry topping was way enough to thaw my frozen oven, straighten up the coiled up desires. My feeble tongue, limping fingers, regained their lost Mustang's power. You craved a lust-filled bath. I gave you more than that. You gave me an elongated night, pushing me into my heydays for a while. A transient bliss eclipsed my old bones' plight. The new morning became crispy. What if you make my eyes your favorite haunt? Every night keep my gray time furlong away. End poem.
wonderful read there, Lawrence, and a beautiful write. And Frank, let's start with your thoughts.
Well, first of all, it was a fantastic read there, Laurent. This is another example here. It's not really a lengthy poem, but it does have, quite, I would say, a central message, of course, in this piece. But I like the incorporation of the fruit, naturally being one that I do enjoy fruits. And I like the way the flavors are flavored in this poem. I like the way the sentience is introduced in this poem. You know, this is the whole notion of the concept of how, the narrative is brought into this poem, the way he describes, or the way it's described in this poem here. It really makes it such a delightful type of life, because you see from the beginning what is being, conveyed in the message here. I really thought the poem was an excellent life. I really enjoyed the metaphors in particular.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Lou, your thoughts?
I thought Lauren, I don't know what's more tantalizing, the words of the poet being, or the person that's reading it. There's just such sensuality to that deep voice that Robert and Frank and especially Laurent have. What I loved about this was it made me think that this was a new relationship. And the reason I say that, because, he says he wants to caramelize strawberry topping and saw it in his oven. And, and right here where he says, my coiled up desires, so all that finally it's time going to be with this person intimate. And he says, my feeble tongue, limping fingers regard their lost Mustang powers. And in a new relationship you are nervous, but once you get going and the heat starts building, those feeble fingers are no longer limping, they're Mustang. So I really like that image of a new nervous relationship.
I like that. That was a really great observation, and I think you're right. It does have that whole feel of a new relationship, the nervousness, the excitement. So great observation. Mm-hmm. And Mr. M, your thoughts?
Well, for me, I saw it kind of like as an older gentleman kind of rekindling his passions and reawakening things that, let's say, he was either by himself for a while or he had lost someone and then decided to go back into the world again. And now he kind of has to thaw off his frozen oven, so to speak, and his feeble tongue, limping fingers regained their lost Mustang's power. Like he had to reawaken that part of him, and his partner happened to be able to do that for him. And it was like exhilarating. It made him feel alive again, and he wanted to keep that feeling. Like, what if you make my eyes your favorite haunt? Like, hey, what if we do this again? What if you want to come back? So, I can keep feeling this way. And I thought that's very relatable, very relatable, and it's inspiring in a way for, people who think that they don't have it anymore, and then they do, So, this is great, and from an interesting perspective, and very relatable.
I like that. It's like the whole thought that, just because there's snow on the roof doesn't mean there isn't fire in the furnace. But
that,
no, and I think you've got a really good point there. Oh, well, go ahead, Lou.
No, because it's true. That fire kindle faster than anybody you know, no matter how old you are.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that makes sense with the every night keep my gray time furlong away. And as the mention of you said, of the relighting the oven or the stove. So wonderful observations there. And Lauren, you did a great read of that. Your thoughts?
Well, I have to agree with everybody. Certainly Mr. M began it, realizing that we have here, as he says, an older gentleman. You take a look at phrases like frozen oven, coiled up desires, regaining their Mustang's power. I especially like, you craved a lust-filled bath. I gave you more than that. You gave me an elongated night, pushing me into my heydays for a while. And the bliss experience is described as transient, because that certainly is what happens. But if it can keep the gray time a furlong away, it's an interesting choice of measurement. It is indeed somebody who's discovering that there is, as you put it so nicely, fire in the furnace. Nice piece.
Absolutely. Wonderful comments, everybody. And I really like the imagery in this. I like the sense of, you know, as was mentioned, the kind of nervous energy, the excitement, and you know, just mm-hmm. the thrill of having the heat reawakened. So wonderful write and very well done. And let's see what we got next. All right. And all right. Up next, we have White Blue Flame of Intimacy by Sapphire Rose. And she was nice enough to supply us with a SoundCloud. So here we go.
Blue White Flame of Intimacy by Sapphire Rose. My prayers were answered the day our words reached out across space and time. Heart-melting affirmations set in poetic rhyme liquefied my glacial palisade. You are that flame that slowly thawed my icy facade, turning that plaguing chill into a warm, comforting embrace. My once pale skin is now etched with the flush of your love, forever changing my physical veneer. Years ago, those closest to me nicknamed me the Ice Queen. I was a black swan caught in an icy pond, until you melted my exterior with your unwavering promise to never leave my side. When we brought our fidelity into the 3D, my gelid way of thinking and seeing relationships changed by your mere presence. You show me unyielding love and commitment every day. I am no longer that ice queen, afraid of the blue-white flame of intimacy. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Sapphire. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Lawrence, your thoughts on this poem?
Well, the AN gives a great clue to the fact that this mm-hmm. is really a very personal message to someone who allowed her to discover what unconditional love was. When we brought our fidelity into the 3D, my gelid way of thinking and seeing relationships changed by your mere presence. We can imagine the way relationships should be, but sometimes that runs squarely into what they actually are, which sometimes are less than desirable. But here we have someone who showed her the unyielding love and commitment every day, curing her of her fear of intimacy. In other words, breaking down walls. I thought it was really well done, and definitely a message with, or definitely a message to someone else, not just a blind accumulation of words. It's a really beautifully done thank you.
Absolutely, and you're right. Sometimes when a poem is that personal of a message, it almost feels like a moment of voyeurism. But I'm so glad she shared it with us, and I thought that was wonderful observations, Lauren. And Mr. M, your thoughts?
Well, I like to read because it was a very personal piece, and she seemed, the way that she read it, presented it that way, like it really meant a lot to her. And I do appreciate her metaphors and like heart melting as affirmations set in poetic rhyme liquefied my glacial palisade, and then talking about being a black swan in a frozen river or stream, oh, pond, an icy pond, that's what it was. And you know, her once pale skin etched with the flush of your love is, these are all like very impactful and very meaningful metaphors that go deeper than just, you know, the surface. They go beyond the surface of the pond, you know, and those things. And she really hit the nail on the head with the melting of the ice and the changing and the metamorphosis she went through from, you know, being the ice queen to basically embracing the flame of the intimacy. I thought it was very powerful and very impactful and great poem.
Absolutely. Yes, I have to agree with you. There is that sense of going deeper than surface level within those metaphors, and they really were spot on. She had written for the quote, I once had 1,000 desires, but my one desire to know you, all else melted away. But with her choice of imagery and metaphors, I also thought it fit well with the one, I'm cold as ice, but in the right hands I'll melt. So, yeah, just wonderful comment. And Lou, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was a beautiful personal love note to somebody that's open your heart. You know, when you're lonely, you know, sometimes we drown our desires. They're just left there smoldering until one day, which is where, you know, where energies connect, heart-melting affirmation set in poetic rhyme, liquefied my glacial, you know, palisade. And then in the next stanza, which I really loved, you are the flame that slowly thawed my icy facade, turning that plaguing chill into a warm, comforting embrace. When you finally, you know, you have that instant attraction, that instant feel. And when you read somebody's words, you read part of their personalities that are just threaded in golden threads throughout, and you wait for somebody to pull it, and this person pulled it. And, you know, and it is very hard to be in a relationship when you've built walls around yourself, but sometimes those walls fall when that right person knocks, you know, starts pulling those bricks down. And that's what she did, and filled her with love.
Absolutely. I like that. Well said there. And, okay, who have I missed? Who have I missed? Have I called on everyone to come? Oh, no, Frank. Frank, I apologize, Frank. I thought there was. Yeah. Your thoughts.
Okay. Well, you know, everyone is echoed. You know, all the sentiments have been said. Now I'm going to echo the same sentiments expressed. You know, this is a very powerful poem. It's also a poem of privacy as well. You know, emotions that are expressed here in the words are that of what has been felt, that of what has been shared, experienced. I think all of us could know to one extent what this means because we all experience this in one form or another. But what I found about this poem very personal as well was the maturation and the realization of what that person meant to her, in particular with the lines there, the ending lines there with unyielding love and commitment, which are two things that there can be somewhat of the opposite. Now, and what I mean by that is an effect. Now, we all want unyielding love, but sometimes that love doesn't give you the commitment. Sometimes the absence of commitment only gives you the yearning love. So I thought this poem really had a contrast, you know, in words and meaning, But overall, I thought the poem was very much enriched with layers of heartfelt sentiments, and I really, really enjoyed that aspect of the poem.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And I'd like to welcome Gray Eyes Smith to the show. Welcome, Gray. Glad you could join us.
Hey, Gray.
Hey, Gray. And did you get a chance to hear or to read Sapphire's poem?
No, I didn't get a chance to hear it. Sorry.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Yeah, this was absolutely beautiful. I loved everybody's comments. I really enjoy the and appreciate the intimacy of this poem. It's heartfelt. It's absolutely stunning. I like that she titled it Blue White Flame of Intimacy, with the blue and the white flame being the hottest to burn. Particularly liked my once pale skin is now etched with the flush of your love, forever changing my physical veneer. Years ago that those closest to me nicknamed me the Ice Queen. I was black swan caught in an icy pond until you melted my exterior with your unwavering promise to never leave my side. It's a beautiful thing to find somebody who you can trust to be by your side. So wonderful, mm-hmm. Right, and very well done. And let's see what we have next. All right. And up next, we have your poem, Lawrence. So go ahead and give it a read, please.
All right. This is called Pray for Guidance. She uses me like ice on a hot plate, dancing and sizzling, bits of me calving to all sides until only the wet spot is left. Used up pleasurably, with expert attention to detail, moving is not a significant option. Wrung out, my emotions are sinewy from overuse. Glad, sad, mad, all the ads. She's busy with her nails, an occasional glance in my direction. Is there anything left of him? The stallion has run his race. Her brow furrows. Concentration. There is tomorrow morning. A slight smile resolves the issue. Her lips pout in a move that dizzies me. Her fingers pirouette, nails carve petroglyphs across a lower belly that flutters reflexively. Sleep, lover, she whispers. Dawn is just over the horizon. When the sun rises, you rise, and I will wear you like wet paint. Pressure. Light goes out. Bedroom darkness is fraught. Need to thaw frozen wellsprings. Pray they melt. End poem.
Wonderful read and write, Lauren. I'm glad you were inspired. And Gray, since you're the newbie in the room, let's start with your thoughts.
Well, you did a wonderful read with that, Lauren, and I thought it was a wonderful expression of giving everything and hoping to give more. It's a beautiful write. Very talented.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Frank, your thoughts.
Well, first of all, you know, it's refreshing to hear Laurent's poetry. It's been a while I've not heard it, but reading it as well is always a pleasure. He has this remarkable ability, I've always said, just using diction, command of language, metaphors. The way he uses it here is just tremendous. You know, I really like the whole notion, the way you began it with the concept there of the ice on a hot plate, you know, how it dances and sizzles like that. You just brought deep in it. You just always bring a narrative to your poetry that to me, it's always fascinating. But I found this poem as well, obviously, very central. And I like the notion that you describe in each and every line, you bring us a sense of sentience is here. You talk about the smile, you talk about the fingers, you know, the whispers. You bring the setting there of lovemaking there as well. And you give us the whole notion of what the lines there mean in the end, you know, with the pray to melt, which is figuratively something which is very much understandable in this poem here. I just thought you did an excellent read, excellent write on the prompt, and I just take my hat off every time you read.
Damn, Frank, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Great comment, Frank. And Mr. M, your thoughts?
Well, I always enjoy when Frank reads. He kind of brings the poem to life in a whole different way. And especially when reading his own work, obviously he knows how things need to be said and how to enunciate and how to bring out the best in the poem, and he did that here. I also like the part where he says, "She uses me like ice on a hot plate, dancing and sizzling." That's very clever because it really gives you like an idea of the motion and not just the motion, but the natural chemistry and physicality that goes within us, like the boiling, the heat and all that, the blood rushing and pumping and all that stuff. So when it says she's busy with her nails, an occasional glance in my direction, is there anything left of him? You know, like wondering, is the cowboy ready for the rodeo type of thing, you know? And, sleep over, she whispers, dawn is just over the horizon. When the sun rises, you rise, and I will wear you like wet paint. I really enjoyed that, wear you like wet paint, because that's pretty consuming, all-consuming, so. And the color of it as well, the vivid imagery. I really enjoyed this, and I have much respect for Laurent and his reading as well as his writing. So,
thank you, my friend.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Lou, your thoughts?
You know, this is such a very sensible to me personal poem. You know, it was almost as if a voyeur, you know, you're looking through the window or across an apartment complex that doesn't have any blinds. What I loved about this was where you said, used up pleasurably with expert attention to detail, moving is not a significant option. And of course, my mind goes in all different directions. So I was thinking, well, if I had teeth on me, I wouldn't move either. And and then I like how you were talking about her fingernails, how she was painting them, and you know, and just to look at somebody and know that you've sexually exhausted them to the extent that they just want to sleep and rest and flow into Neverland, you know, and you do. You say that she had a slight smile, resolved the issue. Her lips pout in a mew that dizzies me, you know, because all she has to do is let you rest up and load them guns back up, and it's time to play some more.
Load those guns.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Wonderful comments, everybody. Thank you. And, Lauren, I really enjoy this. Just brilliant imagery and metaphors. You know, I like how, you know, you can feel how much the biting and the scratching is enjoyed. I was looking up the word petroglyph, and I thought that was just a perfect choice of words for this poem, an image created by removing part of a rock surface by incising picking, carving, or braiding. And then all of a sudden you're going, ouch. But at the same time, you're going, sounds interesting. And, you know, I like the where you mention moving is not a significant option, and she's busy with her nails, an occasional glance in my direction. Is there anything left of him? But I have to say, and I know this poem was already mentioned, but I did particularly enjoy Sleep Lover, she whispers. Dawn is just over the horizon. When the sun rises, you rise, and I will wear you like wet paint. Just powerful, seductive lines there, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
All right, and let's see what we have next. All right. And we have your poem, Lou, so go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Okay. If you get me in trouble, it's your fault. I'll blame Pam. And this is titled Promesas Mordaces, and that means biting promises. Nail my arched moist back on claret satin, sheets with your salivating tongue, exciting throbbing veins pulsing for your teasing iced, fully swollen lips lingering, flicking, snaking tongue. Dripping down, dribbling between every juvenating, straddling limb, begging. Breathless. Interlocking wet moments, aligning, pressing against, vibrating, spasmic uprise, suckling, sampling, blushing rainbow, flexible vice gripping arms, hold her shouldering desert, tempest, delightful, painful outcries. I see. Floating liquid ocean waves, he lifts his glazed fingers, outlines, rubs her engorged ruby mouth, telling me to suckle. Dusky shadows form in his eyes, attempting to silence thunderous cries, infusing naked pearl perfumes. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Lou. I'm so glad you were inspired. You know, and I have a feeling that I have right now three men chomping at the bit. Don't make that four men. Four men chomping at the bit to comment, which is exactly why I am going to comment first, so they can just keep a hold of their dick. No, this is beautiful. And I will gladly, gladly take the blame for any trouble, but if it's too much trouble, I am going to throw Mr. M in front of the coal truck. That's all I'm saying.
As long as he has a skin up there.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But, yeah, this is beautiful, wonderful use of imagery as metaphors. As always, I love when you throw the Spanish in. I love this all the way through, and I like that picture that you chose to write to. I like how you have those moments of pause, like where you said, and then dripping down, dribbling between every rejuvenating, straddling limb, begging, inhaling, breathless. There's something very, I like the choice of the word rejuvenating. There is something very rejuvenating with being with a lover who knows what they're doing. Also, the imagery in floating liquid ocean waves, he lists his glazed fingers, outlines, rubs her engorged ruby mouth, telling me to suckle. such a wonderful sense of command of a lover's body. So beautifully written, Lou, and very well done.
Thank you for the inspiration, Pam.
Absolutely. And Mr. M, your thoughts?
Well, I just had to stop chomping at the bit for a second. It's always an awesome day when Lou gets to write sensual, because she nails it, you know, from every aspect. Her word usage to her imagery, you know, all of it, like exciting, throbbing veins, pulsing for your teasing, iced, fully swollen lips, lingering, flicking, slinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's pretty awesome there. And then interlocking wet moments, aligning, pressing against vibrating, spasmic outcry, suckling, sampling, blushing, rain folds. So I also particularly like the icy, because, you know, the use of ice, icy.
But, yes.
That's very, very, very well done. I figured. Yeah, icy. So, yeah.
So you're trying to say I should have wrote ice me?
I don't think you should have changed anything at all. I think it's very well done there. You hit the nail on the head in more ways than one, and you know it. So, yeah. Thanks for sharing, Lou, and thanks for being inspired, as always.
Thank you, Mr. M.
Great comment. And Gray, your thoughts?
Well, I don't know if it was just my phone reception, but I couldn't hear half of that, Lou. So if you could just repeat the whole thing over again, that would just be wonderful.
yeah, me too, by the way.
See, I'm not the only one. But no, this is muy caliente. It's steamy, it's visceral. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, mm-hmm. I really like the icy.
Keep it going.
Well.
I'm listening.
Well, it's hard to think when you have no brain in your, I mean, no blood in your brain, you know. So, but no, this is just a beautiful, beautiful write, Lou. A fantastic read as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Well, let me put aside the X-rated thoughts and take out the mature audience thoughts for a moment. Nail my arched, moist back on claret satin sheets with your salivating tongue. Floating liquid ocean waves, he lifts his glazed fingers, outlines, rubs her engorged ruby mouth, telling me to supple. Lou, you have a way of describing the physical elements of lovemaking, without using many of the tired old metaphors often employed in this type of poem. The quality of your sensuality, coupled with your read, makes this poem a firebrand in the dark, hot enough to melt the moment. Thank
Aww.
You very much.
Thank you, Laurent.
Thank you very much. For
Thank
this
you,
poem.
Laurent. Thank you.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Frank, your thoughts?
I have to be the last one to comment here. So, let me see. This is a very central poem. But I also agree with what Laurent said. You know, Louis has a wonderful way of writing metaphors of sensuality that just make the poem enriched with just beauty. You know, she has a way of incorporating, you know, well, you know, listening to her, of course, I agree. She has such a beautiful voice. But a poetry, beyond just the notion of the beauty that she shares in her voice, she also has beautiful poetry. You know, she uses just incredible metaphors that I find very much refreshing. You know, the Spanish, of course, I have to say it was well incorporated in this poem here. I thought to my mind when I heard this poem, I was thinking of a song of Bésame, Bésame mucho.
Me mucho.
It was a beautiful
That's a good song.
Oh,
Who doesn't want to be kissed a lot?
There we go. I'll leave it at that for tonight.
Thank you, Francisco.
Wonderful.
Besote.
Oh, de nada. De nada. Igualmente.
Wonderful comments, everybody. And see what we have next. And up next, we have your poem, Frank. And I know you were nice enough to supply us with a recording. At least I think you were. Yes, you were.
Can I say one disclaimer? Can I say one disclaimer before the poem is read? Let's keep our minds to the ice cream for this poem, okay? I just want to say, just keep the mind to the ice cream. Okay, you can go ahead.
You know what? I make no promises. Just saying, no promises.
All right.
And with that being said, here we go.
Are you hungry, my dear? Then take a mouthful. Show me your hunger. I'll be your satisfaction. Your carnal desires are aroused by your craving for a seductive cream, and you hold on to the conical crepe with such a passionate grip. Your twirling tongue begins to salivate the erogenous moisture, dripping into the erotic drops of an orgasmic discovery, an exploration of the tempting ties to your delicious dessert, immersing into the deep layers of an edible cone sprinkled with nuts. As the penetrating flavor melts slowly in your exotic mouth, and your lips are covered and in an aphrodisiac caramel, you shiver in ecstasy with each lick of its sweet substance, savoring the sensual size of its portion with a nymphomaniac penchant. And you want to dip into a hot chocolate that expands into a banana split, swallowing the whipped cream with the teasing tip of your tongue. Quiero ser tu fantasía, con cara, la medula lujuriosa, la humedad desnuda, derritiéndose en tus papilas gustativas culminantes. I want to be your fantasy, with every lustful lick, the nude wetness melting in your climactic taste buds. Do you still want more? Do you still want more, señorita? Ole. Ole. In the tongue.
Great reading right there, Frank. Muy caliente. And
the prompt was 13. I'm not sure if you saw the prompt. It was the woman licking the layers of an ice cream. That was the prompt.
Yes. I did notice that you wrote to the picture of the woman enthusiastically enjoying ice cream. In fact, I had to laugh at Jessica D's comment on your poem. Wow, she really likes ice cream. So wonderful, right? Yes. And Lou, your thoughts.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, who doesn't like creamy flavors? I would answer back to Jessica. So, the more the merrier. This was, I loved the softness of your voice while reading this because it just made it more erotic. And, you know, just through this whole thing, you're just thinking about licking, you know, that seductive cream. I mean, you've got really, your right here where it says, as you, your mind is, you know, I agree with what Lawrence said. Your mind goes XXX, X-rated. You hold on the conical cone with such a passionate grip. Your twirling tongue begins to salivate. Your erogenous moisture. And, you know, visually it just pops out so many images. And it just like, you just like want you to keep reading and seeing where this is going because it is deeply erotic, deeply sweet. I did smile when you said, and you want to dip into a hot chocolate that extends into a banana split. I could not stop smiling, but you know, nymphomaniacs know what they want. So. Excellent.
Oh, well, you said that. I didn't say that there. But,
great comment, Lou.
Gracias, gracias.
Thank you.
And Mr. M, your thoughts?
Well, I have to say that it was very well to the prompt. And who doesn't enjoy ice cream, right? But the part that I really enjoyed was, it says, immersing into deep layers of an edible comb sprinkled with nuts as the penetrating flavor melts slowly in your exotic mouth and your lips are covered in an aphrodisiacal caramel. So it does incorporate many flavors, whether, you know, X-rated or not. It's very sweet in that sense. And I'm sure that a lot of people are going to have to check their blood sugar after tonight. So, yeah, that was very, very inspiring, so to speak. So, yeah, thanks for sharing it with us, Frank.
Oh, I appreciate that. And I have to say, Pam, I have to say, Pam, for the inspiration there, for that poem, for the prompt there. I just looked at it and I said I had to go this way. So I give her props for the prop there.
Well, I'm glad you were inspired. Gray, your thoughts?
Well, you know, this is another in a succession of talented seduction writes and reads. I mean, you're fantastic at them. But, you know, I'd be amazed if she didn't get brain freeze from all that dessert.
Yeah, I can, you know, see.
Maybe.
Yeah, sounded like she was going at it pretty hard. So.
Oh, I'm not going to answer that. I'll let the ladies answer that.
But no, excellent job, Frank.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you very much, sir.
And Laurent, your thoughts?
Your carnal desires are aroused by your craving for a seductive cream. And you hold on to the conical crepe with such a passionate grip. A full-body ice cream suit works every time, eh, Frank? Highly charged piece that explores this intimate act of ice cream consumption, a perfect metaphor for the seductiveness of the sex act. Double entendres abound in this poem, adding to the creamy tension of the piece. Well done, my friend.
Oh, I appreciate that. Well, I didn't say, I did give a disclaimer for the poem there, so I have to say that I did war.
Absolutely. Well, you know, yeah, wonderful comments, everybody.
I just want to say I'm going to have to go now, so want to say it was great to be on with all of you there. It's been a while. I've heard you, but I've not been on the air. If I can get my phone back to offering as it was tonight, and I dropped, I'll be able to call again. But everyone have a good night. And if no Tuesday,
you too.
Take care.
Good night.
Take care.
Wonderful.
Take care.
You have a good night.
Good night, Brent.
Glad you're inspired and glad you could call in.
I'll leave the ice cream and call you tonight. So that will be my little favor for tonight. Yeah. Take care.
Sounds good to me.
Cheerio.
Buenas noches.
Hasta luego. Buenas noches. Hasta luego.
All right. And up next, we have Such a Pretty Mouth by River Blue. And we have a recording for that. And so let me go ahead, mosey on over. And here we go.
Such a Pretty Mouth. July heat colors the saffron moon residing over the restless ocean and brings out primal instincts of sweet southern girls. So I do the sensible thing, reinforce my willpower, take a chance and go out. The beast caresses me before I enter the house of blues. It drums through my body harder than my pulse. The whole of me is focused like a camera lens on the guitarist with dirty blonde hair and beautiful hands surgically manipulating 12 strings of his Martin guitar. Such a pretty mouth. And I want it. But what cost to taste that Hammondbird sugar? He's biting that bottom lip. That unnecessary torture duels with my dignity. So I order Patron on the rocks to give myself some fortitude. My knees struggle to support the weight above them. So I find a seat facing the band. I close my eyes, put a sly smile and sparkle of those deep-set wicked eyes are imprinted on the darkness. Between you and me, I used to collect guitarists in the summertime. But the ghost of my dearest friend sits beside me. Lifeguards were her weakness. The pain of her not being here drowns out the cacophony around me. I drop the ice from the empty drink down the front of my ivory silk shirt. My skin is so heated, its descent is slow and obscene. Despite the guitarist's sudden attention, he's got it all wrong. Noise drowns out my salty curse at the cold shock. A hand from my periphery offers a napkin. I mutter a thank you and walk out as another impossibly sexy song starts. Collecting guitarists is over for me. Driving back to the beach house, mascara streaming down hot cheeks. I grab a bird and run to the water for a night surf alone.
Wonderful read and write, River Blue. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. Laurent, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm very impressed by this particular piece, especially the way it starts with the July heat, bringing out the primal instincts of sweet southern girls. We, of course, assume that she is one. So she does the sensible thing, reinforces her willpower, takes a chance and goes out. And the descriptions of her entering the House of Blues and being focused on the guitarist with dirty blonde hair and beautiful hands is wonderfully done, really. And it jumps right to the pretty mouth that she wishes, but what cost to taste that hummingbird sugar. As attracted as she is to what's going on, and her fate being what it is, my knees struggle to support the weight above them. What intrudes in the evening is her dearest friend, who collected lifeguards as opposed to her collecting guitarists. And the pain of her not being here drowns out the cacophony around me. That pain is, I think, fairly obvious of someone who has passed, who is no longer alive, and affects her in such a way that she has to leave. Driving back to the beach house, mascara is streaming down hot cheeks, and when she goes into the night surf, it is alone, not with anyone else, and it's all the more central to me because of the extreme reaction that she had to this guitarist who she turned her back on because of her emotional state. So it really takes the reader in places that a sensual poem normally doesn't. And yet for all of that, it is very, very sensual. The night surf, one assumes, is cool, and she's going to use it to cool down her ardor, perhaps. But really, I thought it was brilliantly written.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. It is brilliantly written. And I did like that part that you brought up about such a pretty mouth, and I wanted, but what cost to taste that hummingbird sugar. And there really was a sadness mixed in with the sensuality that surprisingly worked quite well. It was very balanced out. So great comment there. And Lou, your thoughts?
She's mutating.
She's mutating.
Am I still? I'm talking to my mute. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
What is so beautiful about a poem is that. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, okay. You know what is so beautiful about her poem is it's sensual can be melancholy. You know, especially when you know we remember or rekindle old memories. You know, she's talking about Southern girls and that, you know, how, you know, just like with everybody, you know, she, where is it that she says, I can't see it right now. Between you and me, I used to collect guitarists in the summertime, and her best friend collected lifesavers in the water. And you know, and this is just something that you remember. You don't, you know, even though somebody has passed, you never forget the flicker of flames, the fire that's there. And sometimes when these, you know, these memories are triggered, which I really like what she, you know, because how many of us have not been in that what was it that she called it, the House of Blues? All of us have been there. And, you know, and sometimes when our lover's not with us anymore, you know, we can go back into these places and hear these love songs. And, you know, it literally breaks your heart. You know, it just flashes so many memories in front of you that you have to leave. And then you just go to your place of solace. And you carry those memories with you always. Lovely poem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there. And Mr. M, your thoughts?
Well, I particularly like the way that it ended, in the sense, like how Laurent said, she kind of needed to do the surf, go for a surf, maybe to clear her head or cool herself off, or maybe to, you know, escape the tears or whatever it is. She needed to recollect herself and that it was kind of like you know, it was kind of dark in a way, which I wasn't expecting, because I didn't expect it to go that route. And it, you know, when someone offered her, you know, a napkin, I figured it would be the guitarist, but it didn't even go that way. You know, like I, it kind of threw me for a loop, and I like that. I like things that when that are unpredictable in the poetry, and it doesn't follow the same lines as you think it's going to. And but in the beginning, I really liked when she says, "Such a pretty mouth, and I want it, but what cost to take that hummingbird sugar?" You know, it's like, what do I have to do to get my lips on that person? And I think that's a very relatable sentiment. Like, you're like, geez, what can I do? What can I do? And then she gets caught up in the moment and the music. And I really like the part where she says, "The bass caresses me before I enter the house of blues. It thrums through my body harder than my pulse." So she's really already getting engulfed in the music and engulfed in the mood. And it's already changing her perspective, but that memory just kind of brings it all back, and as to why she was probably not there in the first place, you know, remembrance and all that. So I thought it was a roller coaster of emotion and very relatable thought, and I liked it a lot. I'm glad she shared it.
Absolutely, me too. And I have to agree, it is a roller coaster of emotion. That was a perfect phrase to describe it. And it is nice to have poetry kind of throw you for a loop and surprise you. So great comment. And Gray, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I mean, she did a beautiful read on it, and it was definitely engaging. And you know, it had I like the introspective quality to it, you know, her relating who she is and who her friend was and all of that. So just a wonderful poem.
Absolutely. Great comment. And up next we have "Cold as Ice Melting" by Darkened Auras. And it goes like this. "My heart is cold as ice to most, but when he whispers my name, I melt. My heart built walls to guard, but this sweet nothings were so heartfelt. He set my emotions free on a roller coaster with no seatbelt. I let him in, and he shot the sheriff that made me circle back like a conveyor belt. With only words, he made me feel feelings I've never felt." End poem. I have to say, that's just a very sweet brevity on the idea of someone helping you to learn to love and to trust. I really had to smile at the line, "I let him in and he shot the sheriff that made me circle back like a conveyor belt." You know, you couldn't help but think about, I instantly had that song in my head like a little earworm. And, you know, I do like how this is about somebody who is on guard and then finds somebody that they can open up to. And "with only words made me feel feelings I've never felt" was just a wonderful ending and beautifully written, very well done. And Mr. M, your thoughts?
Yeah, I have to agree on the shot the sheriff part. I was thinking the same thing. It earwormed me right off the bat. And then I thought about the conveyor belt as an interesting phrase, because it is, you know, conveyor belt, like made a circle back, kind of like a revolving door of sorts. And it kept her coming back, it seems. And just the words and the way that the person set her emotions free, she had that yearning for that, and the way that he made her melt. It's one of those things like that all of us are, well, most of us are guilty of, in the sense that you become bewitched in a way by the way someone can speak to you. And sometimes that feeling is very hard to to get away from, so it keeps you coming back. But I don't know the motive of this person that she's talking to, but I do understand the feeling that it conveys. And I thought that it was great for the prompt. And, yeah, awesome, awesome poem.
Absolutely. And Lou, your thoughts?
You know, I really like your imagery in this poem because, you know, somebody, you can just, like, you know, everybody was talking about, realize that, the last snapped minute, you see somebody and they call your name and you just, you know, and you just want them to keep saying your name and telling you beautiful things. But, you know, like where she says in her ending stance, the shot the sheriff was in my head too, with only the words he made me feel feelings I've never felt. You know, you can feel such emotional intensity for somebody, somebody's voice, somebody's poetry, you know, just hearing somebody anywhere that you become attracted to, it's just instant. And, you know, you're a goner. So I don't know if that's what she meant by shot the sheriff or what, but once your heart's gone, it's gone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there. And Gray, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it really says a lot in such a little brevity, and I agree with you all on the earworm thing. But, you know, this is somebody whose heart is cold as ice to most. But when he whispers her name, she melts. You know, that's just a beautiful, beautiful thing right there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he tears down walls with sweet nothings, so heartfelt. And then I really like the ending. With only words, he made me feel feelings I'd never felt. Yeah, just a beautiful, powerful brevity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to definitely agree. And and Lauren, your thoughts?
The quality of the words, the quality of the voice that spoke to her has to be so special. I mean, there's no physicality here, but somehow, with the words alone, he unlocks her frozen heart, which I think is a refreshing change, spoken word only. And again, how special it must have been. There had to be something that resonated deep inside of her to the combination of the voice and the words that were so heartfelt. Beautifully done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wonderful comments,
everyone. Still there, Pam?
Sounded like she got dropped.
Yeah. That is unfortunate.
We got a call.
Well, if it's going to be, she said Luke's poem was next, so I am going to post that for her. I just need to find it. Here we go. And I will probably read it. Unless you want to read it, Gray Eyes?
Yeah, sure. I'll give it a read.
All right. There you go. It's on the board there.
Okay. This is going to be a talented rate. Cantatrice Cosmophilus. Cantatrice Cosmophilus. Cicerone. Guidance through every trail followed by tongue. She doesn't require the warmth of a fleshy hand. She doesn't require the ice cream on the for sale stand. Cicerone, guidance through every slick, sticky situation. Whether her tongue stretches out before a crevice is opened. She's a handler of the sweet things in life, stuffed into a cone. She is a boulder, not a gambler. Holder of all the cards. Cicerone, guidance through the warmth of any breath. She doesn't require the vehicle to make her ice cream. She doesn't require a heavy hand covering her final scream. Cicerone, guidance through the thickest wet dream. Whether her tongue is slippery, it slides on the inside out, travels along the thick trunk of a fleshy elephant. It stays a little longer on the way down. She's so down. Caramelized, shimmering in the morning sunlight, she's the sunrise, dribbling through all her pores. She's got ice cream running down on all fours. Caramelized, glowing brighter than the moonshine. She's got them all hooked up to free delivery doors. Her eyes full of hunger for something thick and tender. Her eyes, her lips seductively licked in a very slow motion. She's covered in ice cream, soon to be the ocean. Swimmers may have free entry for a short while, her legs separated from each other to uncover for her lover. Her eyes become fixated on the tall figure in front of her. She's licking her lips twice, like sugar wasn't enough for her. From sun lotion to ice cream, her skin feels like a dream. You can rest knowing she'll finish you first before your ice cream is swallowed whole. She's got a big mouth, but a small hole. Golfer enters her domain, her eyes stunned by the thick mustache. He's looking like a plumber. She's looking for someone dumber. There's a glow in his eyes as the caramelized woman sighs. You can rest knowing that the story ended in a delight, and before his very eyes, she had him fire into hole three all night. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Gray. And I apologize for any confusion. I dropped, my phone dropped, but I stayed on in the studio, so I had to wait until I dropped before I could call back as host. I really appreciate you reading that. And Luke, I am so glad you were inspired. I love how this is a combination of naughty humor and sensuality, and it works so well with the prompt. And Mr. M, your thoughts?
Well, I particularly liked where it says, her lips seductively licked in a very slow motion. She's covered in ice cream, soon to be the ocean. And caramelized, glowing brighter than the moonshine. She's got them all hooked up to free delivery doors. I did enjoy the whole ice cream play, and I thought it was a good idea for a prompt, and I knew that a lot of people would actually be able to get some good ideas out of it, and Luca managed to pull one out with this one as well. Through the warmth of any breath, she doesn't require the vehicle to make her ice cream. She doesn't require a heavy hand covering her final scream. It was, in a sense, kind of humorous, but it was also had seductive components to it. So I'm glad that he was inspired to be able to write something playful and still keep it sensual and not X-rated. So yeah, it was a good job.
Yes, sensual but not X-rated. He did a wonderful job with that. And yeah, there is that sensuality in imagery, like caramelized, shimmering in the morning sunlight. She's the sunshine dribbling through all her pores. She's got ice cream running down on all fours. Wonderfully written and great comment. And Lou, your thoughts? Are you mutating, Lou? Did she have to mutate?
Right. Yeah. I thought I got dropped. Yeah. You know what I love? Robert did great. Did such a great job in reading this. This poem by Luke to me was in some way like somebody that is wearing a coat, but underneath you have to pull the layers down to see the sensuality. You know, I thought he did this brilliantly. You know, he brings out the sensuality without, you know, bringing this. She's not a, you know, a ditz, and you know that this person, you know, knows things, and that she wants things. You know, he says that, you know, he's got the, it says caramelized, shimmering in moonlight, sunlight. She's the sunshine dripping through all her pores. She's got ice cream running down on all fours. And, you know, there's just the different things in here where, you know, he talks, her lips seductively licked in very slow motion. She's covered in ice cream, soon to be an ocean. And, you know, and it just the different things. She's licking her lips twice like sugar wasn't enough. You know, that, you know, she's always wanting more, but she knows what she wants.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And Gray, your thoughts? Gray, are you on mute?
I was. I'm sorry. So, no, I thought it was great, right? You know, it had a wonderful storyline, and, you know, it was twists and turns, but, you know, done in a fantastic way to keep you engaged throughout the write. You know, I just think that this woman had, you know, way too fun that day, you know, with all the ice cream play. So, yeah, beautiful job.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yep, I have to agree. Wonderful comment. Oh, and Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, I was very impressed by the use of language in this. And if we can go just to the title for a moment, Cantatrice, Chesmophilius, and Cicerone. I mean, Cantatrice is a soprano singer. Chesmophilius is someone that is fond of nooks and crannies. Cicerone is a guide for sightseeing. So with those three words, Luke goes ahead and he really sets the stage by describing this woman with those three words. And basically she's going to take you on a sightseeing trip that you're never going to forget. He took some chances in this as well. Whether her tongue is slippery, it slides on the inside out, travels along the thick trunk of a fleshy elephant. It stays a little longer on the way down. She's so down. All the way through here, there's some very well thought out allusions and double entendres that contribute to the whole. Speaking of whole, you can rest knowing she'll finish you first. Before your ice cream is swallowed whole, she got a big mouth but a small hole. Fascinating piece. Really liked it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment there. And this brings us really close to the end of our show, so I'm not going to try to, you know, cram in another write. The rest will be carryovers. I'm not sure to where, but when I know, I will let people know. And I'd like to say thank you to Mr. M for co-hosting with me tonight on this show. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, who's listening now or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. Thank you to Fill My Eyes for all she does in the background. Thank you, Gray, Lou, Frank, Laurent. Okay, who am I missing? Gray, Frank, Laurent, Lou, you. Am I missing anybody, Mr. M?
Just me.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you to all of you for calling in. Your time is very much appreciated, and you are all greatly loved. And make sure to keep an eye out on all the contests and topic boards put up by our late night poets, hosts, and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to inspire. And have a good night, everyone.
Thank you, Pam. Good night, everybody, for a great show.
Good night, Robert. Good night, Pam. Laura. Good night.